Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday, September 11th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. So definitely got a few things to talk about today, a few pieces of news, and so call fight announcements. But first thing I wanted to mention was, obviously, today is September 11th, and, you know, it's been 18 years since that really tragic day. I remember it really well, actually. I'm actually turning 31 in a couple days. I remember September 11th really well. I was in grade 8, and my mom came to pick me up from school at lunch and said that there was a big plane crash, and I had no idea really what that meant at that point. Came home, watched the TV, saw the news, went back to school, and the teacher, Mr. Malvern, I remember him, grade 8 teacher, he just said that there was something bad and historic that happened. And at the time, it was really hard to comprehend what that meant, because we were so young. I was like 12 or 13. But yeah, I mean, it turned out to be one of the, you know, changing days in American history, right? And world history as well. So as someone who did study history in university and majored in that, I definitely want to mention the fact that today is a very, you know, somber day. And just want to remember the people that did lose their lives that day, because it was a very important day in history for the wrong reasons. So rest in peace to all the victims and all the first responders that day. It was a long time ago, but you know, we will always remember what happened. Okay, so let's get into today's show. I want to start with Dustin Poirier calling out Conor McGregor. So Dustin Poirier, he's been pretty active on social media in the days since the loss of Khabib. At first he said he might retire, and now he's out there calling out Conor. So I don't blame him. I mean, why not? Why not call out Conor? That's a big fight for both guys. Conor's fought Poirier before at featherweight, but he knocked him out. And for Conor, you might think this is an easy matchup for him. For Poirier, it's a good bounce back fight after losing Khabib, and it's arguably a bigger fight. I mean, Conor's a massive star himself, so this is a fight that makes sense. I think I'm fine with this one, as long as Conor doesn't get that next title shot. Then I'm fine with him fighting a guy like Poirier, or even the winner of Cowboy Gaethje, or even the loser of that fight as well. Conor does not deserve a title shot, not even close. He has to win at least one fight to get back in the title picture. Ferguson has to fight Khabib next, and I do think that Poirier calling out Conor does make sense. Also, I should mention, Poirier said that he would be fine with doing it in boxing too, so that's kind of interesting. I feel like that's him just kind of being upset that he got wrestled in that last fight with Khabib, but this fight should take place in MMA. It should take place in the Octagon, in the UFC, Poirier versus McGregor too. It's a fight I'm fine with. Either that, or like I said, you do Gaethje or Cowboy versus McGregor or Poirier. You kind of mix and match all those guys, so I'm fine with that. It's cool. Like, any of those fights make sense to me, as long as Ferguson gets that title shot with Khabib, I'm happy. So with that being said, I want to mention something here. So UFC 245. Okay, so this is kind of funny. I made a tweet yesterday afternoon saying that, because I've been looking at the upcoming cards and realizing, man, there's a lot of title fights that need to be booked at some point, either before the end of this year or beginning of next year. And I was thinking to myself, man, UFC 245 could get three title fights. So I wrote a tweet at, I think, like 5:30. And I had some people respond to me, including Damon Martin, who I respect a lot. And Damon's like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. And other people were saying, you know, the UFC barely does that. An hour later, Ariel Helwani tweeted the same thing, saying he's hearing that there could be three title fights in this card. So I thought that was pretty ironic that, you know, an hour before I went out there and I said something, just honestly, me just kind of guessing, if anything. And then Ariel said that he actually has heard that there could be three title fights. So I think it makes sense, honestly, looking ahead at the cards, there's a lot of title fights that need to be put on for the end of the year. So that card, if I'm guessing, it's going to be Nunez versus GDR, and then you could have Colby versus Usman. You could have Holloway versus Volkanovski. That's three title fights. Those are three fights that need to happen. You stack that deck on that card, and you try to have a big pay-per-view. Also, you could put Khabib versus Ferguson on that card. Ferguson wants to fight that card. He called a Khabib for that card. You could do that. And you could put John Jones against someone on that card as well. Not only that, but Willy Zhang, she could fight in that card too. She wants to fight in the States. Dana wants to bring her here. So there's like six title fights right now. There's like one pay-per-view and six title fights. So I'm sure the UFC will kind of, you know, move some of those to the beginning of next year in January, February, put those on those pay-per-views. But I have a good feeling that there's going to be three title fights on this card. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I just feel like the UFC needs to go out this year with a bang. I don't know how the ESPN Plus pay-per-view numbers have been, but I feel like if they put three title fights on the card, who's not going to buy that? Every MMA fan will buy that. So To me, it's something that makes a lot of sense, and I feel like it's going to happen. Speaking about John Jones, Ariel actually did mention something about Jones. He said that he won't be fighting again in 2019. So yesterday, there was rumors that Jones could be setting up for a match with Jan Błachowicz. That's not going to happen, and I'll tell you why in a second. But with Jones, it looks like he's going to be fighting in 2020. So that makes sense, too. I honestly wanted to see him fight in that 245 card against Błachowicz. I think that made a lot of sense. But, you know, it's kind of weird, right? Jones said, oh, I have a big fight announcement. I don't know if he was just joking or not, but they could do Jones versus DC3. That's what I'm thinking that he could be talking about. But again, it's just hard to say at this point because I did think Błachowicz probably was going to get that fight. But, and this segues great into the next point, Błachowicz is going to be fighting someone else at UFC Brazil, Sao Paulo, in November. He's going to be fighting Ronaldo Jacare Souza in the main event of UFC Sao Paulo. So a very surprising fight here. I didn't expect this match with me, and I don't think anyone did. Ronaldo Souza moving up to light heavyweight. So that's interesting. I don't blame him at all. He did not look good in that last fight against Jack Hermanson. He's 39 years old now. I do believe the weight cut was starting to get to him. It affected his cardio in this fight. You know, I feel bad for Jacare, man. I mean, he is probably the best fighter who have never fought for a title in UFC history. I mean, I think there's a very good argument that you can make for that. So he's been looking consistently. If you look at his record, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, but he's still one of the best guys in the world at 185. And I think 205 is going to be interesting. So him, Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold, all former elite middleweights, all moving up to 205. That's pretty interesting to me. And he's going to be taking on Błachowicz. So Błachowicz coming off a huge win over Luke Rockhold. He's actually won 5 of his last 6 fights. This is a really interesting fight to me. Obviously, if it goes to the ground, Jacare is going to have a massive advantage and probably does sub Błachowicz. But this fight stays in the feet. Błachowicz has huge knockout power. He's a big dude. This fight can really go either way. So it's hard to say he's going to win. The fact it is in Brazil, I mean, I think you have to fear Jacare a little bit, but he's also moving up a weight for the first time, and that's going to make things very intriguing. So, great fight. Love it. Surprised they didn't do Błachowicz for Jones. I think a lot of people thought that was going to happen, but Jacare versus Błachowicz, it's a pretty good main event. Speaking about really good fights, UFC 244 gets 2 more really good fights, but the one that everyone's talking about is, of course, Vicente Luque will be taking on Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. This is a great fight, too. Luque called out Thompson after his last win over Mike Perry. Luque's won 6 straight fights. He's actually 10-2 in the UFC, and he has 9 finishes. Yeah, 9 finishes out of 10 wins. So he's an incredible fighter. The last fight with Mike Perry was an awesome fight. That was back in August in Uruguay. Obviously, rearranged Mike Perry's face. Before that, knocked out Derek Krantz, Byron Barberina, Jalen Turner, Chad Lapriest, and submitted Nico Price. So he's on a great roll right now. The 2 losses in the UFC to Leon Edwards, which, you know, that's not a bad loss. And then Michael Graves in his debut, but Michael Graves is a pretty good wrestler, and that was 4 years ago, I think, that Luque's really improved his wrestling since then. So he takes on Stephen Thompson here. Thompson has not fought since the knockout loss to Pettis back in March. He's actually lost 3 of his last 4 fights. I personally feel like he beat Terrence Hill. Even the Tyron Woodley fight that he lost by majority decision, that was a pretty close fight too. So he also has that win over Jorge Masvidal mixed in between those. So this guy is still one of the best welterweights in the world. You know, the Pettis loss obviously is concerning because he was KO'd in such brutal fashion, but he's taken the requisite time off. 6 months off is smart. He obviously didn't fight in that Greenville card, South Carolina. I think he wanted to really badly because he's from nearby, but I think it was the smart move for him to take time off. This fight with first Luque is going to be a tough one for both guys. Really can go either way. Luque has looked incredible, and he's got knockout power, and he probably will be favored here because of the role he's on, but don't sell Wonderboy short. This guy has... he's beaten some really good fighters in his career. Masvidal, Robert Whittaker, Rory McDonald. Like, he's had some great wins on his resume. Don't count him out of this fight. It could go either way. And the other fight I mentioned for UFC 244, Hakeem Dawodo will be taking on Julio Arce. It's a really good featherweight bout. Julio Arce has just been great in the UFC. He's 3-1, excuse me. Knocked out Julian Arosa in his last fight with a head kick. Also submitted Daniel Tamer and beat Dan Ige by decision. He has that one split decision loss to Shane Moraes, but other than that, he's looked great. Takes on Hakeem Dawodo, who finally had a great win in his last fight against Yoshinori Horii with the knockout of the night, or performance of the night, I should say, with that brutal knockout at UFC 240. He's 3-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 in a row, also over Kyle Bochniak and Austin Arnett. It's a great matchup between 2 strikers. And Arce actually has a great ground game, too. So I wouldn't just call him a striker, but two guys coming off of head kick knockouts in their last fight. Really could go either way. I guess I kind of favor Arce because I do feel like he's a little bit more well-rounded, but Dawodo finally showed some potential in the last fight, and that's what we were waiting to see. So definitely is a fight can go either way. Also, I should mention that Ryzen and Bellator are doing some sort of tournament. It's mostly a Ryzen tournament. They're doing a lightweight Grand Prix, and there's some good fights on here. They actually haven't made the matchups yet, but I should say fighters. So Patricio will be going to Ryzen for this tournament, so that's pretty cool. Johnny Case is in the tournament. Luis Gustavo in the tournament. Tatsuya Kawajiri. Tofik Musayev. Roberto de Souza. Damian Brown, the former UFC veteran. And Hiroto Usako. So great tournament. I mean, there's some good fighters in there. Johnny Cases look great. Patricio Pitbull is a really good fighter, of course. Kawajiri, longtime veteran. Damian Brown's looked really good in Ryzen. So that's awesome. And also, I should mention, the main event of that card will be Yuri Prozatska versus Fabio Maldonado. So great fight. Obviously, there's rumors that he could be fighting Vader at the end of the year. That could still happen. But Fabio Maldonado is a very tough dude. And he has been boxing lately. I think he's been knocked out in his last couple of fights. So Yuri probably does win this fight by knockout against Fabio, and aging Fabio, but still a fun fight. I'm a fan of Fabio. He's a fun guy to watch, and I think this fight with Yuri is really good. So that Ryzen card takes place in October 12th, I should say, at Ryzen FF19. And you have to imagine that the winners of these fights will be set up for that year-end card, the one that they're supposed to be doing with Bellator. So I like what Ryzen's doing. I like what Bellator's doing. I think it's really cool they're doing cross-promotion. It'd be nice to see if the UFC would be able to do that at some point, but Dana White really doesn't want to do that. And here's one other thing. Dmitry Smolyakov, I just seen this. Dmitry Smolyakov suspended 2 years for testing positive for prohibited substances. So that's, I think, the guy that fought Greg Hardy. Let me double check. I'm pretty sure it is, right? Smolyakov. Pull him out here. The lifeguard, yeah, it's the guy who fought Greg Hardy. So he's been tested positive for steroids or banned substances, I should say, and 2 years suspension. So that's interesting. So I think that's all I want to talk about today, guys. A little bit of a shorter show, but I'll be back tomorrow, of course, breaking down all the news in MMA. Yesterday, myself and Cole Shallon broke down the entire UFC Vancouver card. So please go check that out from yesterday. Broke down all 13 fights in the card. I'm looking forward to that. Let me double check one thing. I wonder if the Connelly and Pereira lines come out yet. Nope, not yet. So no line yet for Tristan Connelly and Michelle Pereira, but that should come out soon. That's all I want to talk about today, guys. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Check me out at BJPenn.com, MMArings.net. Have a good day, guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.